It's time for Rhema for Today.
The scripture says, we read it, that a messenger of Satan was permitted to buffet him, doesn't it? Now, the Bible does not say that this thorn in the flesh was a sickness. I want you to notice how the expression, see, you have to interpret the Bible, different expressions, the way it's used all through the Bible. Now, notice the expression, thorn in the flesh, is used elsewhere in the Bible.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, recognizing roadblocks to healing. Next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Well, let's go to another roadblock. I'm talking about things that hinders folks from getting healing. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Remember that one? Remember that one? Well, let's read 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure, 2 Corinthians 12, 7th verse through the 10th verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. Now the thought is widespread in Christendom that Paul had a sickness which God refused to heal. This teaching has led many to believe that if it must be God's will for Paul to be sick and not be healed, then it must be God's will that many of his saints be sick and not be healed. And so it has held people in bondage when they should have been delivered. Now, another common belief in Christendom is that Paul suffered from some disease of the eyes and was nearly blind. Well, the Bible states in the 9th chapter of Acts, the 12th through the 17th verses, the Bible states that the Lord Jesus appeared in a vision unto Ananias and told him to go and lay hands on Saul, that's Paul, that he might receive his sight. The next verse says that God healed him. Now to conclude that Paul had eye trouble because of that brief blindness would be to belittle the work of God, because the Bible said God healed him. Now when Paul was on the island of Miletus on his way to Rome, you remember when they were shipwrecked, he preached to the people, told them about the redemptive work of God, and he laid his hands on them and they were healed. Now, if his eyes, as some Bible theologians have said, had been full of pus, as some claim, would these people have believed God for healing? And yet when Paul laid his hands upon them, they were healed, weren't they? Bible said so. Now, it is true that God permitted this thorn in the flesh to come upon Paul. But it was not from God. It was from the opposite source. The scripture says, we read it, that a messenger of Satan was permitted to buffet him, doesn't it? Now, the Bible does not say that this thorn in the flesh was a sickness. I want you to notice how the expression, see, you have to interpret the Bible, different expressions, the way it's used all through the Bible. Now, notice the expression, thorn in the flesh, is used elsewhere in the Bible. And notice how it's used. Notice that, and you can read this back in Numbers 33rd chapter, but you notice this, that before the children of Israel went into Canaan's land, God told them to destroy the inhabitants of the country, the Canaanites. For if they didn't, notice what he said, these Canaanites would give the children of Israel trouble, and he described it like this, they would be a thorn in their side, or a thorn in their flesh. There's no reference here to sickness. Numbers 33. Neither was Paul's thorn sickness. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And everywhere Paul went, the devil stirred up strife against Paul. Paul wrote, you know, of the many times he had been whipped, stoned, left for dead. He wrote of being put in jail and even fighting with lions. Yet in all of his writings of persecutions and tribulations, not one time does he include sickness among them. Not once. Nowhere in the scriptures do we find where Paul was ever disabled by sickness in any of his ministry. Not once. Now, why did God permit this thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul? The scripture tells you. The scriptures say that it was because of the revelations and visions that Paul had had, lest he might have a tendency to be lifted up. Now, therefore, before anyone claims that he has a thorn in the flesh, it would be well to ask, how many revelations and visions have you had? Amen. Most folks who think they have a thorn in the flesh haven't any kind of a revelation or a vision. All they're doing in their ignorance and doubt is permitting Satan to defeat them and keep them from the blessings of God. There are those who do have a thorn in the flesh, in some ways that Paul did, because the devil is ever present to stir up trouble and to hinder them in the work that they're doing for God. But notice what God said, my grace, hallelujah, is sufficient for thee. God's grace gives power to rise above the buffetings of Satan. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Well, I believe we'll have time to get to one more roadblock. We want to get all these out of the way we can so we can get you up to healing. Hallelujah. I'm suffering for the glory of God. That's another roadblock. Now, those who support this belief usually point to the scripture in the 9th chapter of John where Jesus passed by and saw a man who was born blind. Now this turn there to the 9th chapter of John, read that. I have never seen anybody get healed yet that thought they were sick or suffering for the glory of God. I've never seen one of them yet. I know a good many who are now dead who thought that. Amen. All right, let's read 9th chapter of John's Gospel. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now see, that's as far as they read. They stop right there. Now see, he said, but that the works of God may be made manifest in him. They said, now he is born blind just so the Lord could heal him and show his power. Those dear folks sure did walk on the top of the Bible. They didn't get in and study it, did they? See, you can't stop there. Let's go on reading. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh, no man can work. Let's read it again. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. You see, him being born blind is not the works of God. Can you see that? The works of God haven't been made manifest in him yet. He's blind. He is born blind, not because he sinned, of course. Not necessarily because his parents sinned. We know from studying the Bible because Adam sinned. The human race fell heir to these things. And so, Jesus said, he didn't say why he was born blind. We know, because we have the Bible. Thank God we are more enlightened. Thank God for that. Now notice, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, he just simply said, neither is this man sin nor his parents. Left it at that. Because see, he just asked what they asked. They said, has this man sinned or his parents that he's born blind? Jesus answered and said, neither is this man sinned nor his parents. No, that's not the reason. Now, we know the reason. Because of Adam's sin. But now notice, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. That was God, wasn't it? I said that was God that sent him, wasn't it? So then, in him being born blind was not the works of God. And him all these years blind and still sitting there blind, God's works haven't been made manifest in him yet, have they? I said, have they?
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's special radio offer. First is the complete set of 21 videos from Winter Bible Seminar 2026, all on one USB drive. This new MP4 format offers a convenient way to view these teachings. This is offered for a price of $95. Next is the 21 audio teachings from Winter Bible Seminar on a USB drive in MP3 format, offered for the price of $50. And lastly, we're offering both the video MP4s and the audio MP3s on two USB drives for $140. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
In May, we're going to make a swing out
up
in the Northwest.
Yes.
We're going to be in a Living Faith Conference in Spokane, Washington on May through the 5th, Sunday through Tuesday, at Spokane Christian Center with Pastors Rick and Linda Sharkey. That's our dear friends.
Yes.
And then we're going to move down to
Meridian, Idaho. Idaho.
That's just a part of Boise.
That's right. May 6th through the 8th at Life Church. That's Pastor Mark and Amy Bohr.
They're our friends, too.
They are. Well, everybody's our
friend.
That's right. Okay. So go to rhema.org/LFC to find out all the information.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.